Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Blankenbaker and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back to the Diener Show here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Mark Blankenbaker, Jeff Lightsey Jr. Diener's out for the day. He just texted in and said that his headache is brutal and that he cannot go. So thoughts and prayers to him. You know, do you think Kateris Hicks would catch Diener?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably so.
Not me. He wouldn't catch me, but he'd catch Dean.
Probably so.
Okay.
Probably so. Yeah. Once again, we gotta have to put it to the test. This is how naturally can you say his name? And that'll tell you.
You think Drew could say Blue Hunnits?
Well, that's why I said
Blue Hunnits.
Yeah, we gotta see.
That's very unnatural for me to say.
Clearly.
I can do it.
Yeah.
Blue Hunnits.
Yeah. I feel like I need to train up to that.
But I feel like
you're getting better. It's gotta be a little less stagnant, just like flow. Just
let
flow.
It flow. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we can do that. Maybe if he catches a touchdown, I can maybe accept it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You catch a touchdown for Louisville football, I start my trust in you starts to develop.
Okay.
And you're my boy, Blue.
I got you.
You know, you're my boy, Blue. You're my boy. So we can do that. That'd be pretty cool. Now, yesterday was conference realignment day.
Yes.
The teams that have dissolved out of the Pac-12 have now gone to the Big Ten, the Big 12. The SEC absorbed Texas and Oklahoma. The ACC accepted Stanford, SMU, and Cal. And so it was kind of an interesting day. And they had on the SEC network a little bit of a – Greg Sankey was there. Joe Castiglione was there, the Oklahoma athletic director, and I loved what he had to say about the enthusiasm on campus for the move from the coaches that were excited to join the SEC at Oklahoma, except for maybe one.
Uh-oh.
I will tell you without reservation, every coach that we talked to was excited. And you know what? The ones that weren't aren't here anymore.
It's
take it away, Dart.
Listen. We call that a mic drop.
And when you're in this league, you can mic drop a little bit.
When you're in this league, you can mic drop a little bit. Bro, you haven't been in this league yet.
I was about to say,
you know what I'm saying?
Won a game and did anything.
You've been stacking up W's in the Big 12,
yeah,
playing against Baylor, Iowa State, you know, stuff like that. And you open up against Temple. All right, you're not really stepping out. Okay, now they do have Houston game two, which will be interesting. Tulane, who 2 years ago was good. I don't know what they have this year. They have... Their real test, their true baptism, will happen, you know, in weeks 4 and 5. 4 and 5 where they have Tennessee in Norman, and then they go to Auburn. You know, so those – and I don't know what Auburn has, you know.
I don't either. I just – historically, Freeze has been a good coach. So you're just assuming they're going to be all right. They've recruited decently well since he's been back or since he's been there at Auburn. Yeah, that was a not-so-subtle shot at Lincoln Riley, though. I'm into that.
No.
I like that.
And so do you think Lincoln really, like, weighed – you think that really weighed in his – decision making to leave Oklahoma for USC, because he got $11 million from USC.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, possibly, but
Oklahoma's just a great job. USC's a great job.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And do I want to be a great coach? And like, I think Lincoln probably felt like he tapped out of Oklahoma. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I think he probably felt like, okay, I've reached, this is the pinnacle of what I can do. He had a bunch of Heisman Trophy winners that could never get the defense right. And he's probably like, hey, if I am ever going to get this defense right, it's going to be easier for me to attract whoever the defensive coach, those defensive players, to USC versus Oklahoma. And because if it was just strictly about conference alignment, like, USC moved to the Big Ten. It's not the SEC, but it's not like a cakewalk. It's not Pac-12.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just the Big Ten. So I just think he felt like he could – his – potential was higher at USC than Oklahoma. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I think so.
I don't know either. I mean, he's won how many quarterbacks have won the Heisman? I know
Caleb Williams, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield.
Baker played for
Lincoln.
He did?
Yeah.
As a head coach?
Yeah.
Oh, in 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's the year that that Baker won it. Mm-hmm. Wow, 3 Heisman Trophy winners.
Yeah, and then Jalen Hurts came in second.
Right.
Under
so he's had Heisman finalists and Heisman winners, 3 Heisman winners. Yep. That's incredible. He's had 5 New Year's Six Bowls.
Yes.
You know, and this is in a period of 8 years. Okay. So so it's 7 years as a head coach.
Yeah.
It's unreal. So to me, I think it's kind of funny, you know, that he left and Oklahoma's kind of dunking on him a little bit. It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. But Lincoln Riley's a freaking good coach.
And this Miller Moss kid, I mean, if the bowl game against Louisville was any kind of introduction, he's probably going to be pretty good too.
I don't know how much you can really even worry about bowl games anymore.
Which is understandable, but he got played and that dude went crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he did. Like, it's just.
Now, he was 7-5 last year.
Yes. Now, they had a disappointing season.
Defense was just freaking terrible.
It was awful.
We couldn't capitalize on that.
Yeah, that was the. Don't remind me. But that was the issue. The fact that everybody could score in USC last year.
And we couldn't. With Jeff Brohm as our coach. That was really the disappointment for me, because I thought going into the game, I was like, all right, we've got 4 weeks, we've got Brohm. Guys on our offensive line played hurt all year. They're going to get a chance to kind of get healthy. Mm-hmm. And we have Garrendo. We'll be able to run the ball. And I knew we were going to be without Thrash.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that we were going to be without Jawar Jordan.
Yes.
We kind of knew that going in.
Mm-hmm.
But our defense had played great you know, all year. And I know it's Lincoln Riley. And I know Caleb Williams wasn't there. But Lincoln Riley he's won the Heisman Trophy with 3 different quarterbacks, 4 Heisman finalists in 7 years. Probably even more finalists, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, he's a good freaking coach. I thought that our offense would be able to kind of exploit them, but we were so limited offensively last year that I don't know that I can really – like, if I say that that the Holiday Bowl is an indicator of what next year's offense is going to look like, then I'm not optimistic about this year.
Not at all.
But I don't think it has anything to do with it.
Luckily, it doesn't. Luckily, it doesn't, because the personnel is different. The guys that are returning are a year older, you would expect. And then the biggest thing is the quarterback play. You expect to be better.
Yeah.
Like, that's the number one thing, because there were just times, whether it was that bowl game or just really late in the season, where – Plummer he got the yips. Like, it's like he had the yips, and the coaching staff didn't trust him.
He threw a really nice ball on the opening drive to Huggins Bruce.
Yes.
And Huggins Bruce dropped it.
Yeah.
And it was never the same after that.
Plummer
really struggled. And in the opener against Georgia Tech, Jimmy Callaway dropped the ball inside the red zone. that almost got picked.
Yeah.
It went up in the air, and then Plummer packed it in for like the rest of the half.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't rebound in the set in the third quarter, we don't beat Georgia Tech.
Jamar
last
made
year.
Some plays too.
Yeah,
and Jamar Thrash made some plays.
Jamar and Jawar Jordan.
Yeah,
did,
Jawar,
you know,
yeah.
The offensive line was pretty sick mm-hmm. in the second half, but for whatever reason. Jack Plummer, after that incompletion against to Huggins Bruce,
yeah.
it tanked him for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I mean, like, even that, I mean, I can't get that fourth down out of my mind. Like, just throwing it behind him on fourth and two, whatever. He's wide.
Who was he throwing
open.
It to?
Was it one of the tight ends?
Karisky.
Like, yeah.
It was Karisky.
And he's just
and
wide.
It's a beautiful play call.
It was perfect.
Everybody executed except for your quarterback.
Oh, my goodness.
Go back and watch that play.
No, it was perfect.
It's a great encapsulation of the year.
Yeah.
Because everything was really it was the right moment. Everybody mm-hmm. executed.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful. You could see everything working.
Yeah.
And then the ball was terrible.
Yeah. And the thing is, it was like there's nobody around him.
No.
Like that's the thing. Like,
it's a first
a
down.
Handoff.
He might score.
This is a handoff. Just get it there. And like that, those are the type of plays that you're hoping, those and the big shots down the field that improved quarterback play can help a lot.
Yeah.
Like, because the thing is, we know with Brom as your play caller, him and Brian, you know, deciphering, building the playbook, being your play caller, you're more times than not, you're going to be in the right position. It's just about whether you execute or not.
Right.
And that is what you're expecting out of a Tyler Shuck. That's the only reason why you bring him here.
Yeah.
It's like I expect you to execute these plays that we call because we're going to have you in the right position. Are you able to execute? That's what Tyler Shuck's going to have to prove this year.
And when I've watched Tyler Shuck play, you know, when he's been healthy,
yeah,
he's a decisive player.
Yeah, he can play, man.
And I think that's what Oscar Brahm's kind of alluding to when he came on the show, what was it, a week ago or mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, talking about how he is very confident in Tyler Shuck. Because I think at quarterback, you have to always be aware of whatever dangers are out there. But you also have to trust the play call, trust your teammates, trust yourself to see it, throw it. You know, deliver the ball. There were times where Jack Plummer against Boston College was just on fire.
Yeah.
Just after that throw that he had to Huggins Bruce, like it was 70 mm-hmm. yards in the air. That's the potential of Jack Plummer. He didn't always live up to that. Like he
was a consistency
questioned
thing.
Himself mm-hmm. way too much. And there were open players repeatedly at, you know, running down the field. I am very excited about Colin Lacey being a slot guy that we haven't had.
Yeah.
Kevin Coleman and our Huggins Bruce weren't it.
Mm-mm.
They're backup slots, and you know, we needed a premier guy there.
Yeah.
In the Jeff Brohm offense. Like I would love if we go back in time and find Eli Rogers.
Oh yeah.
For Jeff Brohm.
Oh man,
that would be sick.
He'd catch 100 passes.
Oh, easy.
He'd catch 100 passes.
Or Rondale
passes.
Moore, who you were hanging out with or somebody. You've seen that happen
mm-hmm.
with Jeff Brohm. So when then Corey Brooks, Chris Bell, having tight ends. I'm excited.
That's going to be a big one too, though. I know we've talked about it before, but that improved tight end room. Like that was an emphasis during recruiting this offseason. Like we're going to go out and get, at one point I think they had 5 tight ends committed. Like one of them ended up staying, you know, where he was in the portal, ended up going back to his school. But Louisville was like, hey, if we're not going to improve anything else, we're going to improve this tight end room by getting Isaiah Cummins, Mark Redmond, like all these different mm-hmm. guys.
Skinner.
Yeah, Jaleel Skinner. Exactly. So we're going to get guys like athletes, and we'll figure out where to put them, tight end, wide receiver, wherever.
And we still have Karuski.
Yeah.
And we still have Jamari Johnson, who was a freshman last year.
He was.
That really didn't understand the offense
yet.
No,
he didn't.
You know, like a lot of freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, Jamari Johnson has lost a little bit of weight, and he is really – it's the third installment this fall of the offense.
Yeah.
So he started to play more in – like he played in the bowl game.
Yes,
he played later in the year. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited for him. I mean, this is a guy who's a 4-star.
Yeah, he's a high-level guy coming out of high school, like a Adidas All-American. Like he was a big deal.
He was crazy athletic.
Part of the California connection, mm-hmm. all those guys. And he was one of – he may have been the highest-ranked guy at all of them. Like out of the guys from California, him, Pierce, I know they were towards the top.
Was it him or Aaron Williams?
Yeah, it was. But he was like up there in the mix. And so that – it is exciting to see that. And with that improved room, that competition, that is going to help Shuck and or any other quarterback that may have to play.
Because
I always have to keep that in contention because Shuck has, you know, missed the last – he hasn't finished the year in 4 years. So – but, I'm hoping that this is the year he's able to – go all the way through, but having that slot receiver, Colin Lacey, having those tight ends, how whatever combination it is, Skinner, Cummins, Johnson, whoever, and then hopefully you're able to get hit plays over the top with Brooks, because that's what Brooks was able to do early in his Alabama career. He was known for a big play guy, you know, 40, 50, 60 yard bombs down the field. That just wasn't something that was consistent in the offense last year, because I think you may take a step down from your running back play, not drastically, but you have two running backs to get drafted. It's just natural to see a little regression, but hopefully you see leaps and bounds improvement from the quarterback position or from the tight end position.
Yeah, you know, and you bring up Brooks. He only caught three balls last year, kind of an injury-riddled season.
Yeah.
But in 2022, 39 passes for 674 and 8 touchdowns at Alabama.
It's pretty
and
good.
It wasn't the main target.
That's pretty good.
You know
in the
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was really good. And so that's 2 years removed from that. And I do think, you know, we didn't get to see him in the spring game, really. But before when he was out there, people were really excited about it. And people were really excited about Chris Bell, too.
Yeah.
So, all like last year, going from a zero position at tight end, which I don't want to denigrate our players, but there just wasn't enough there at tight end. You've got five of them now that I think can play.
I mean, it's not denigrating when they saw it, too. You don't go out and get, what, three or four transfer portal tight ends if you thought that your room was where it needed to be.
Right.
Like, you went out and got guys that have played and that you expect to play for you.
Right.
Because you knew that that room needed to be better.
Yeah, they're forcing Karuski, who's probably fourth, maybe fifth now.
Yeah.
They're forcing him into the playbook because you had to have a tight end to run the offense, and especially without Thrash. You know, you get into a situation where Thrash isn't available, or in the Virginia game where he really couldn't play.
Yeah, he just
ended up playing. Yeah. But he really probably shouldn't have played.
Yeah, just like a decoy, basically.
Yeah, that you kind of have to force some other action, and they won't have to do that necessarily next year. So I think that it's going to be great, and I don't think we have a Jamari Thrash. I think Thrash is one of those awesome college receivers. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Thrash is really, really good. I think he's going to make some inways even as a rookie with the Browns. He could be like the Browns, what Tank Dell was able to do with Houston last year. I think Thrash is that good. Like, you get a late round guy talented, but the
He's not necessarily the primary guy. He's going to get a lot of it's still going to be the NFL,
absolutely,
but he's not going to be the primary dude.
But I like that position for him because I think he's that good. Like, I don't think we saw, because of the injuries in the quarterback play, I think we talked about this before, we didn't see peak Jamari Thrash. I think in the league, you know, with better quarterback play and a healthy for a whole season, he's going to be a really good NFL player.
Yeah,
I just believe so.
I do too. So, but maybe we don't have like the highest,
top end
talent like Thrash. But Colin Lacey at the slot position,
it's going to help a lot.
Man, Huggins Bruce and Kevin Coleman just didn't get it done.
Yeah,
they just didn't get it done. Just flat. Like, Huggins Bruce had all the smoke. You know,
that was the
NIL
thing about
smoke.
Because I like him a lot, and I just never felt like we got the most out of him. Kevin Coleman, I'm not surprised because I told you before, I saw him at Jackson, and I was like, man, he had underachieved to me there as well. Huggins Bruce, I thought with Jeff Brom, I thought he could be the guy with Brom.
Did.
I thought he could be the guy.
He just only played sometimes, you know, and that's the thing that really holds these guys back. Like, I agree, Huggins Bruce is talented, but you're not going to earn your NIL check, and you're not going to earn an NFL check if you don't play consistently every time.
Yeah, consistency matters.
It really does.
It matters a ton.
Especially there, and you're not like Devontae Parker.
Yeah.
You're not some physical specimen.
Yeah, this is true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
Like, you got to go after it. You got to play like Restrepo at Miami.
Yeah, man, he's a beast. He can play.
Is he the best slot in the ACC?
He is. He probably is.
I'm thinking around. Wake Forest usually has a really good slot.
Yeah, the one guy from Virginia, he's in the league now. But that may have been 2 years ago when Virginia had a really good slot receiver. I think he plays for the Packers now. Yeah, but
Restrepo's great.
Yeah, but Restrepo can play.
I like him a lot. And I'm hoping that Colin Lacey comes in and has that effect. That, you know, it gives, you know, oh, man, you got to watch out for this Colin Lacey guy. Like, because, I mean, Jeff Brom uses the slot as like a long handoff.
Absolutely.
And, you know, go run and gun. He couldn't do that last year.
No.
It was really unfortunate.
And that's the thing. Like, it doesn't, for the guys who are the guys in Brom's offense, they can come in 1 year and really do damage. Like, year one, we saw Charlie Jones go from nothing to an All-American. You know, 1 year we saw Rondale Moore as a freshman become an All-American. Like, this is like the with his offense, and he is one of these, comes from that Bobby Petrino feed the studs. Like, hey, if it ain't broke, we're going to keep going to it. Like, so that means if you got 12 catches in a game, and you might have five catches in a drive. Like, yeah, we're going to get you the ball if it's proving to be effective for our offense. And so that's why a guy like Colin Lacey can make a lot of noise in year one under Coach Brohm. And that's something to be excited about.
Yeah, so, you know, Texter says, yes, Louisville football's soft schedule should make you ready. And I'm like,
what am I supposed to do with that?
I'm like,
what am I supposed to do with that?
We got at Notre Dame, at Clemson, all right, Miami at home, all right, we have the SEC, we've got a team in SMU that I'm sure
top
this
25.
I'm sure that this texter thinks is trash.
No, but
it was a
games.
Top 25 team,
yeah,
last year. You know, Virginia, I don't know what they have. They were garbage last year. Boston College, I don't know. Stanford, probably not.
And you can only play the teams on your schedule. Like, you can only play the teams on your schedule. We're in the ACC. Like, we play ACC teams. What more do you want from us?
Louisville got crushed last year for its schedule, and they played 13 Power 5 schools.
Mm-hmm.
One of two schools in college football that played 13 or more. Okay, and that is ridiculous. And I hear Kentucky fans all the time, well, then why don't y'all do it?
Yeah.
You know, oh, Indiana, that's not a good win. Well, why don't y'all play? Y'all drop the game.
Yeah.
Why don't y'all play Western?
Yeah.
You know,
they don't want that. They don't want that.
They don't want that smoke.
They don't want
Coach Helton. They're supposed to be SEC.
Coach Helton in the, yeah.
They're supposed to be SEC.
Yeah, Coach Helton, they don't want
that,
man.
Kentucky fans, we know your true heart. All right? You can talk about the schedule all you want, but as long as you're scheduling the way you schedule, like, we're not having a conversation. Yeah. By the way, last year, Louisville's schedule did rank 42nd. Kentucky's was 35th. Is it that much different?
Not really.
Talking about seven spots.
Especially in the SEC.
And you're in the SEC?
SEC.
Supposed to be SEC.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. So anyway, it's just kind of annoying. Number one in the country, by the way. You want to guess who had the number one schedule in the country last year?
I'm assuming it's going to be like, I'm assuming like Georgia or something, like Alabama. I'm assuming an SEC team. Let's go
Washington.
Alabama. Wow. Now, that actually makes a lot of sense. Pac-12 was brutal last year.
Pac-12 was sick last year.
Pac-12.
It was like a renaissance year.
And they had to play Oregon twice. They had some tough games on there.
Right.
Yeah.
So for all the bluster of schedule and all that stuff, a Pac-12 team had the number one schedule in the country last year. So, you know, facts be damned. Facts be damned. Right, Locke? Move the goalpost. Is Justify a good horse or not? Because you just
We know the answer to that. Come on. Like, let's not ask silly questions. We know Justify is a good horse. It's just about, Locke, are you willing to take back what you said
about
Justify?
When we say facts be damned, we have to turn and pivot to a Lachlan McClain facts be damned segment. Is it tough to win on the road?
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty tough to win on the road.
It's tough to win on the road, Locke. Sorry. Tough to win on
it's
the
not
road.
Easy.
Tough to win on the road, Locke. It justifies a good horse. That's why you just bought into one of his colts.
Yeah.
Welcome to horse racing, Lachlan. And you know, but that does piss me off about you know, oh, Louisville's schedule is garbage. It's not that much different than yours, dude. And you play in the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, like, my only thing is like, we can only play the teams in our conference. Like, if you just want to say the conference is garbage, okay, whatever. But, like, it's nothing we can do about that. Like, mm-hmm. We're in the ACC. That's the conference that we're in. And so,
and we don't have Florida State this year.
Yeah. And so we're going to play the schools in the ACC. And now, because the ACC is so big, you can't play Florida State every year. Or sometimes sometimes Clemson's not going to be on the schedule, or Florida State's not going to be on the schedule. But if Louisville handles their business, they'll see those teams in Charlotte. Gotcha. You know, they'll see whoever in Charlotte.
Well, Hawk Tua has made an appearance. We're going to talk about that on the other side. We're also going to talk more Louisville football. So I have some sound that I'll play for Jeff Leitze as it relates to Hawk Tua.
Uh-oh.
And also football. So we're going to do a little bit of both. A bit of both on the other side. Liquor Barn, where Kentuckians go to celebrate life. It's 4th of July weekend. Okay. I'm not invited to the cookout. But if you don't want to leave the cookout, all right, then you can have it delivered to wherever you are. So go see our get online, go to liquorbarn.com or download the Liquor Barn app and place your order for pickup or delivery. So save yourself some time. I would want to have it delivered because I don't want to go into the store. I don't want to put it in my cart, go put it out up onto the counter, and then put it back into my car, and then walk it out to my car, then put it into my car, and then carry it inside the house. I'd much rather click, 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 pay, and then I just take it from you and put it inside my house. I skip all of those steps. You know how much time you save with delivery? Like, whether it's Kroger or Liquor Barn, whatever, Liquor Barn, where Kentuckians go to celebrate life, use delivery, you know, and also don't, you know, be safe with fireworks. You know, be safe with fireworks over there. On the other side, Hawk Tua. We'll talk about that on the next with Jeff Lightsey Jr. next after this.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Blankenbaker and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back to The Diener Show here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Man, it's 4th of July.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, there's like really important stuff. You know, going on this weekend. When do they start the fireworks, do you think?
Oh, it's already started.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I heard fireworks at the end of last week. But then last night, I was just sitting out, back patio, and boom. Just big.
Really?
I was like, yep, it's already. It's here.
And what part of town do you live in right now?
I live out in Fern Creek.
Fern Creek. So, yeah. The creekers are out there lighting it up.
Now, the question is, how long does it last? Because it's already started. How long does it last? Does it last to the 14th to the 15th, like it typically it lasts a long, long time, at least.
Yeah,
different areas that I've been. So I'm just, it's already started. I'm curious on when it actually ends.
Well, this day in history, in 1996, this was the day that Will Smith woke up and he thought it was an earthquake, but they were aliens invading. And so Captain Stephen Hiller, okay, he led the charge to go 2 days later on Independence Day to save the Earth, okay? But they showed up on July 2nd, 96. So just so we – because that's real. That's like a documentary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not like I love that freaking movie. I could watch that. Like, I want to watch that movie right now.
That's like a good one.
I want to watch that movie.
It's a good one.
Right now, I saw that in the theater, and I thought I saw like a masterpiece.
For real.
You're a big Independence Day guy? I loved Independence Day. I loved everything about it.
Is that your favorite Will Smith movie, or do you have one
My
higher
favorite
than that?
Will Smith movie. Man. Well, I think it probably is.
That's a good one.
I Am Legend I liked a lot, too.
I Am Legend. I have one that most people just would be like, what's wrong with you? I really like Hancock a lot. I think Hancock is an underrated movie.
A drunk superhero.
It's like it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really like, and I'm into when superheroes or whatever, they're not like just all pomp and circumstance, like, you know, they like the Marvel movies sometimes.
Yeah.
That's why I like The Boys. You ever seen the show The Boys?
The Boys.
The Boys is a show on Amazon. It's really, it's about superheroes, but it like shows like
all right
the real people, and it's actually awesome. I really like The Boys.
It's like if superheroes were professional athletes.
Like, and their identities exposed and all that stuff. Like, so they are known as whoever. Homelander is evil, but he's a superhero. It's like awesome. Like, The Boys is really good. I know Lieberman likes it. It's a really good show.
Yeah, I liked Hancock. Yeah. Hancock was cool. Check that out. I kind of liked Hitch a lot.
The Bad Boys series is all time.
Bad Boys was great.
Bad Boys 2.
Yeah.
That's
you like the one where they go to Cuba?
Yeah.
I like
that's
that.
Bad
and they
Boys
have the whole scene with Reggie at the front door.
Oh, that Reggie scene was great.
Yeah, Bad Boys 2, actually, I think it may have been like the first rated R movie I saw in the theaters.
Really?
Yeah, I was young.
John Sally's in it.
I was like, what, 8? Yeah. I think it came out like 03, 02. I was like 7, 8 years old. My mom took me to see it.
That's funny.
Awesome.
So I haven't seen every Will Smith movie. Like, I didn't think iRobot was very good.
Never saw iRobot.
I don't think I've ever even seen Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh, that's a good one, dude.
Is it good?
It's good. It's like low key. It's more, and he did it with his son, with Jaden.
Ah,
it was pretty awesome. And it's a real story. It's like based on a true story.
What's about, the one? Oh, about what?
No, it's just based on a true story about the stock market and stuff like that. Guys, so yeah, it was awesome.
Check that out. There was one where like I can't remember the name of it. I'm struggling to come up. I'm like, kind of looking for it, but like where his son had died and his wife and him, and like he's kind of going through a tough time. Man, I like that one. I felt that one.
I know what you're talking about.
I can't come up with the name of the movie, but I felt that one. I'm not a big Jada Pinkett fan. I don't really like like what's going on in his life.
A lot of us aren't.
And
but we love Will.
And I am interested in the Ride or Die series. Enemy of the State was also good. That was a very good movie. Yeah. I like that one. That was good. Anyway, I don't know how we got on a Will Smith tangent. I know, Independence Day.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is.
Jeff Goldblum. You know, the fat lady hasn't sung. So, right? I don't hear no fat lady, right? Like, I don't know. It's like, it's so, I love that movie. I don't know. There's something about it. All right. We got Greg Galley yet. We're getting on more serious topics like the Louisville Bats. And Greg, you guys have today and tomorrow to kind of celebrate 4th of July out there in the true American way out the ballpark.
Well, the thing I'm really concerned about is I hear rumors that ESPN staff might be in a suite tonight at the ballpark. Is that true?
You've heard correctly. And I cannot... I can't. I just have to apologize in advance. Is what we have to do. You know, there'll be two Valvanos there.
Oh God!
When there's one Valvano, that's enough. But when there's two, who knows? Yeah. It's going to be a good time.
Seismic.
Yeah,
it should be. It's going to be great weather. So you guys should be see a good baseball game tonight. We got probably our hottest pitcher going for us tonight, Randy Wynn, who has an ERA right now under 2. And see if we can't get back on the bean tonight against the Indianapolis Indians. We took a tough one last night, a close game, but the weather was really good last night. We had a nice crowd. Obviously, everything's kind of gearing up for tomorrow night when we shoot our big July 3rd fireworks show. Tomorrow night's going to be jam-packed. We'll open gates tomorrow at 6 o'clock with the first pitch at 7:05. And tomorrow's game is presented by Cupcake Vineyards, which will also be featuring their red and white wines tomorrow night. 6-ounce pours tomorrow night for only $4.
Wow.
We'll also be playing baseball bingo tomorrow night. And right after the game's over, before our big fireworks show, probably one of the top two or three NBA halftime acts will perform. Christian and Scooby. Christian is a fantastic gymnast who, during his entire performance, is balancing his Chihuahua dog, Scooby, on his feet. And it's just a tremendous act. We were actually their first baseball game ever back before the pandemic. So I had to explain to Christian what an out was, what an inning was, what a run was. And he's gone on to be quite popular, not only in the NBA circles, but also does extremely well now doing a lot of minor league baseball games. And then, of course, after they're done, the big fireworks show tomorrow night, sponsored by Wright Implement, and should be a tremendous show. And a great way for folks to get their weekend underway as far as a long weekend. I'm sure a lot of folks, as I drove around this morning, getting to work a lot faster than I normally do. So I think a lot of folks have taken the week off.
I agree with you. There's lots of people that have taken the week off. And it's just kind of the way it is. But what better way to kind of celebrate the 4th of July than at the ballpark? They're going to be wearing the Stars and Stripes uniforms tomorrow night. As far as merch goes, you know, with those... Will that type of merch be available, or what's the story on that?
Well, our hottest merch item right now in our team store continues to be the mint juleps.
Wow.
Which was featured on ESPN Sports Center about 6 weeks ago. And, God, we're selling so much of it across the country now that it's been exposed to fans all across the country. So they've kind of discovered now the mint juleps. They've kind of discovered the mashers, the alternate themes that we normally play as. But I'm also actually, I think we're going to be blessed to have a celebrity with us tomorrow night sitting somewhere probably between the dugouts, and that's Coach Jeff Brohm.
Wow.
I'm hearing he will be coming out to the game with some of his coaches and their family, so they want to take in some of the Bats baseball tomorrow night. So should be a big night at the ballpark. And then the cool thing is when we come back home next Tuesday night to start another homestand against the St. Paul Saints, one of the big promotional features for next homestand, next Saturday night, on July 13th, our first ever dime hot dog night. So you can get hot dogs for a dime.
And,
it's a limit of up to 10 hot dogs. So you throw a dollar down, you can get 10 hot dogs. And again, that'll be Saturday night, July 13th. So make plans to join us for that night also.
Nicky stopped taking his semi-glutide as soon as you said that. he's gonna be loaded up so that he can eat the 10 hot dogs. I can already hear him doing that. No, that's awesome, because like you could take a family out there or a group of kids, and you know that's and feed everybody, and that's an amazing promotion. 10-cent hot dogs, and that's on the 13th of July.
Yeah, next Saturday night when we come back home after we go to Indianapolis this weekend. And then I snuck up to Indianapolis this past weekend and took in the Bananas game up there, which was just unbelievable. They had 15,000 people crammed into their ballpark. And just trying to get a kind of a preview and a feel for what we're going to be dealing with when they arrive here in Louisville for those 3 days. And in talking to Jesse Cole, who created the Bananas and who basically runs the Bananas, he tells me now that it looks like ESPN or ESPN2 we'll probably be broadcasting all three of the Louisville games from Louisville Slugger Field. So,
wow.
Looks like Louisville Slugger Field is going to be showcased on national TV those first 3 days of August.
I love
that. Excited about that and getting ready to go for Banana Baseball coming down the road here soon.
It's wild. Like, just go around town, pools and such, and just different places. How much Bananas gear, the kids are wearing. It's actually really kind of fun and cool, and I don't think I had an awareness of it until like maybe two years ago. So it's really exploded onto the scene.
When we were in the ballpark, as soon as the gates opened, they had probably 15 merch stands set up all around the perimeter of the stadium. And it's an interesting crowd because it's mostly moms and kids. Obviously, dad's there too, but a very strong mom and kid audience. And they all sit in their seats as soon as they get in. Nobody moves around much. The only time they get up is when they go to those merch stands, too. And those merch stands, they stayed busy all night long. They sold so much merchandise, it was unbelievable. So, Banana Mania is going to take over Louisville here August 1, 2, and 3, and we're excited and we're looking forward to it.
That is awesome. I think that's just going to be a lot of fun just to be a part of. And, but Louisville Bats, just on a day-to-day basis, you all have the best stuff going on, incredible food. I'm excited to get out there tonight and check it out and get some beers down or whatever. But, what's going on with the big club right now? I mean, who's up, who's down? How are we looking?
Well, we're doing our usual. We're sending a lot of guys up and down Interstate 71. We just got back a couple of outfielders from the Reds as they're slowly starting to get healthy. The problem with the Reds, offensively, they just can't seem to put together a continued streak of, playing solid winning baseball. They're going into playing the Yankees over the next few days. But after that, they've got a stretch for about 2 weeks before the All-Star break where they play teams that are below 500. So it might give them an opportunity to get themselves right and hopefully get themselves back in the wild card chase and possibly even climb back into the race in the NL Central. But Nick Lodolo is out right now with a blister problem. He's on the disabled list. So is Friedel's out. So he's hurt. So right now they're still trying to get health. As soon as they put together a couple of good games, then they find a way to somehow not get any offense going like they did in St. Louis where they got two solid pitching performances. They got shut out in both games. So it's a continued two steps forward, two steps back for the Reds. But we'll continue to do what we do for them, and that's provide them as many players as we can to keep them going. And we'll see how things pan out. But they've got to get through the Yankees over the next few days, get back home to Cincinnati, and get well.
Yeah, and I'm actually headed up to Cincinnati next week to see them play the Rockies. And, it's right before the All-Star break, and you guys get a little four-day respite there, too. What does Greg Galliette do with those 4 days that you kind of have where you don't have games?
There's two things. One, there's going to be a honey-do list, I'm sure, when I get home. I got to make sure I keep myself out of divorce court. But number two, I'm going to try to sneak out to a golf course somewhere and play a little golf because in my business, it's hard to play golf in spring and summer with so many baseball games. all I hear about is when I talk to people and they tell me about their golf games. Well, I'm hoping to get out and maybe play a little golf myself. So that's hopefully going to be on the agenda.
Yeah, somebody make Greg Galliott a tee time, okay?
Yeah.
You know, let's get him out
he
there.
He deserves it.
Greg Galliott needs to be, you need to be on the tee of Valhalla, okay? Be careful going in there, Greg, though. Be careful while going in the front gate.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've played there, but I do enjoy playing Valhalla. It's a challenging course, that's for sure, but I don't know if I'm up to Valhalla right now because I haven't played much. So.
Yeah, I know.
But, hey, I appreciate you guys having me on. And again, don't forget, folks, tomorrow night, big July 3rd fireworks show. To buy your tickets for everything that's Bats Baseball, it's real simple. Just go to our website at batsbaseball.com. You can buy your tickets right there. Never have to leave the comfort of your home. And then just bring your phone or your printed sheet of paper down with the barcode on it and admit yourself right into the ballpark. And I think we're going to have it's like we're trending towards a sellout tomorrow night, so I'm looking forward to a big crowd.
Wow, that's amazing. We'll see you tonight up there for the $2 menu night, and we'll look forward to seeing you out there at Louisville Bats, Louisville Slugger Stadium, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me up.
Right, absolutely. Greg Galliott, Louisville Bats. Man, it's going to be a good night out there. Last night was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was perfect.
It was like 82 was the high.
It was perfect.
What did we do to deserve that?
Man.
That was outrageous.
Especially after a heat wave we had.
I know. Well, like this morning, you know, I was rolling in, and I was like, is it really 55 degrees outside? And I was like, wow, it really is.
Not mad at that at all.
And I was like, yeah, I guess the AC wasn't working. I don't think I heard it overnight. Yeah, I think it was just everybody was chilling.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't too hot, but that's not going to last very long. It's going to heat up.
Heat waves come back.
Yeah. And I guess there's a hurricane down there.
Oh, man. Really?
Hurricane Beryl. It's like the earliest ever Cat 5 hurricane on record or something like that.
What area is it supposed to hit?
It's going to Jamaica.
Okay.
But it's going to let – the prediction is according to Jude.
As I say, Mr. Jude. It's a Hilltopper right there. You better watch how you speak about him.
I love Jude. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I love Mr. Redfield. That it's going to weaken as it approaches.
Okay.
And that they believe that it's going to go like through the Yucatan Peninsula and maybe go into Texas, or we'll find out. Mm-hmm. It, you know, if it goes into Texas, we'll have some gorgeous weather for a while. It sucks up all the energy. What I don't want to have happen is it like kind of wheel around, sit on top of us like the hurricane in 2002 did for the Florida State game and just dropped all the rain. Of course, the farmers probably like that. I just don't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't need too
I want
much rain.
The pool. Sorry, farmers. If it can rain at night, rain at night.
I agree.
I would like to schedule the rains.
Hey, I'm with you.
But
I agree.
Yeah. So I guess the weather, like, they're talking about like the 4th of July, like it's going to rain on the 4th of July, but it's not going to be like a washout. It's, it's going to happen. It's going to go through, and then you just got to like wait it out, and then it's going to be nice.
So if there was a constant like little spring, do you have a system where you can still grill even if it rains a little bit, like at the Blankenbaker house?
Yeah. I mean, if it's, yeah, I mean, you know, I could kind of bring the grill close because it's not covered.
Yeah, as well. Okay,
but I could bring it undercover, kind of, and still have ventilation. I'd probably pull out like a fan.
Okay,
you know, to push the smoke out so it doesn't collect underneath or whatever. You could do that if you really had to. But I mean, it's not going to rain all day.
I got you.
It's not going to rain all day. So it's going to rain at some point during the day. We'll take our little break. Maybe I'll catch a nap during the rain. You know, maybe I'll do that. Maybe it'll happen early. I don't know what time it's coming through. But when it does heat back up, if your air conditioner doesn't fire right back up right away, call DFH Company, dfhcompany.com, 968-6222 is the number. You can look them up online at dfhcompany.com. I have a certified train system at my house, and it works incredible, especially in the extreme heat. Diener had a little bit of a problem when he was coming home from Vegas, called DFH Company in a panic, and they came out, and by the time he landed in Louisville, it was all done. He didn't even notice.
Well, that's awesome.
It was ready to rock, and that's what DFH Company does. They can provide you with a new system. They can repair your actual system. So give a call over there. 968-6222 is the number. Right now it's chill out there, but that's not going to last. If you know that it's not been keeping up, now is the time to call. DFHcompany.com. Tell them Blankenbaker and ESPN Louisville sent you. On the other side, we are going to get the Hawk Tua.